a lot of soul.
This is Bass Talk Live. Your host, Mark Jeffries and Matt Pangrack. BTL is brought to you by Lowrance, Lose, Strike King Lures, Bass Cat Boats, Duckett Fishing, Spro, Apco, Big Bite Baits, Sunline, and TH Marine. BTL coming at you. Good Wednesday, everybody. Welcome once again to BTL Bass Talk Live, where we're going to talk bass fishing and anything else that I want to talk about. Yes, Matthew, he is not here because this show on Wednesday was actually pre-recorded last night. We had an opportunity to talk to MLF professional Mark Daniels Jr. and really dive into his performance at Lake Fork. So rather than doing a best of today, I was able to get in touch with Mark Daniels Jr. and do the interview last night. So hopefully everybody will enjoy. He led the qualifying, and then if it wasn't for the flurry that Mr. Ott Defoe put on there toward the end and just blew away the field, he still had a great, great week. He had over 111 pounds in qualifying, got a day off, and just a tremendous week on Lake Fork. The other thing is, he kind of goes into a little bit of detail about the worm setup that he was using down at Lake Fork and at Athens. The other thing you need to pick up on, he didn't have a whole lot during practice. His practice was horrible, but he found something in the final hour, and how many times have we heard that? So, good interview. Hopefully everybody enjoys it. Tomorrow, Thursday, Rick Pierce will be live. And then on Friday, we're going to have David Fritz on. And folks, I'm telling you, the next 2 weeks are going to be jam-packed. I'm going to announce on Thursday the addition of a couple more guests that I've been able to get booked. So today, Wednesday, enjoy the interview with Mark Daniels Jr.
The ultimate fishing system starts with Lowrance HDS Live. Upgrade to HDS Live with a Ghost Trolling Motor, Live Sight Transducer, or Structure Scan 3D, and get up to $500 cash back.
Yeah, you care about gear ratios, inches per turn, and ball bearings, but most importantly, you want reliability and dependability in the equipment you use. Lose doesn't cut corners when it comes to the gear they build. The new Speed Spool LFS is the best $99 reel in the market. Go see for yourself.
We've paired one of the most iconic hulls in the history of bass boats with a proven lineup of trusted accessories. We're bringing you best-in-class value and performance, leaving others in your wake. Turnkey value, turnkey performance. The Pantera 2 is an overachiever in the 19-foot category. Once you hit the throttle, you'll feel the rush, and there's no looking back.
Kevin, what are you doing here?
Oh, I'm just filling in for Billy.
I need 660 shad crankbaits in the Series 5 model.
We're out.
You're not out. You got all kinds of them right there.
We're out.
Kevin, I need six.
Have a lollipop.
I do not want a lollipop.
Have a lollipop.
Do you have it in sexy shad color?
At Duckett Fishing, we have assembled the top pros in the country to help us design rods to give you a competitive advantage.
Castability, strength, durability, action, sensitivity, weight and balance, and consistency.
Combine that with the best warranty in the industry, and you have rods that are pro-driven.
Duckett Fishing, pro-driven.
I want to share to you a new product we got coming out from Sunline. This is the FC leader size spools that we have now. We've got a lot of requests for this. A lot of you guys use fluorocarbon for leaders only, myself included. And one of the problems you have is when you have a 200-yard spool, that might last you 2, 3, 4 years. You might even lose it before you even get done with the spool. So we've gone to a little smaller spool. These are 50-yard spool sizes. You know, that way you're not holding your line on forever. You can keep your line fresh, use it when you can, stores real easily in the boat. We got all of our popular line sizes that you're used to with our Sniper, from 5 to 14 pound. If you guys are looking for a line that you're only tying for a leader, go check out Sunline FC Leader 100% fluorocarbon and give it a try.
All right, I want to welcome to the show now Mark Daniels Jr. Mark, kind of a crazy, crazy time, but I really appreciate you taking time out to be on the show.
No problem, man. I'm happy to be on, man.
Once again, it's just it is a time and an experience that we've never been through before, and I want to get right off the top. What are your thoughts, and really, what is your opinion on what went down with the decision to not cancel but postpone the Lake Jordan event for Major League Fishing?
Yeah, I think that was an excellent call on their behalf, on Major League Fishing's behalf. You know, even though we could wiggle around some of what's going on through the CDC, you know, requirements, etc., with the coronavirus spreading as rapidly as it is, and there's just so many unknowns, man, I think it was the smart move just not to put anybody at risk. And then not only us, but then our families, and it just goes on and on from there, man. So hats off to Major League Fishing for postponing that. I think that was absolutely the safest move that they could do.
All right, very cool. Now, the main reason why I wanted to have you on is to talk about your Lake Fork performance, third place finish.
Yeah.
And he just went on a different tangent compared to what everybody else was doing. But, man, what
That's
a great week for you at Lake Fork.
Amazing week, man. I couldn't have been any happier with how it all turned out, man. I mean, especially after the practice I had, man. Practice was really brutal. But, you know, at the end of the day, we found one of those mythical spots that all your buddies always tell you about that you actually never find yourself. I found one of those spots, and I found it during the event. So that's what makes it really special. A lot of times things like that happen in practice. They happen when you're out hanging out with your buddies. But it seems to never really come together for you during the tournament. And this time all the stars lined up, and we found a magical spot.
How was practice?
Practice sucked, man. It absolutely sucked. I ran around a lot of that lake, very difficult to navigate with all the timber in that place. So you find yourself idling these long, long ways to get in the backs of these places to check them out. And so you use a lot of time just navigating. But even with that being said, the bite was not good. You know, I feel like that warming trend that we got right before the tournament started you didn't start to see the effects of that until the actual tournament started, in my opinion, because in 2 days of practice, I might have had 8 bites.
Wow.
I want to say. And none of that I could pattern. It was just kind of random, all of it.
How did boat traffic, did that affect you, or was it just one of those things where you just couldn't get dialed in?
I ain't going to blame it on the boat traffic, although Lake Fork is at the top of the list of, you know, pleasure boaters / they're all fishermen, though.
Yeah.
But there's people from all over the United States, man. It's a destination lake, you know. So
yeah,
you got people there fishing. There's lots of guides. There's that. But nevertheless, the place is full of bass, and it's just getting dialed in. And through practice, I was not dialed in.
What was the light that went off either during the event or whenever this flurry came and you found this very, very defined area?
So what ended up happening with the spot, man, was I found a spot in practice, very late in practice, the last hour. And I roll in there, and I catch a 3-pounder at the mouth on a spinnerbait. No big deal. I'm not thinking much of it. Then I start throwing a swim jig and making a lap around this very small pocket. I mean, it's like 45 yards at best. And as I'm making this lap, I see 2 fish on bed. Obviously, I power pull down on them. I take a peek. I look out to make sure they're scoreboard, decent size, which they both of them were. So I marked both of them on my GPS, and I kept rolling. I didn't really think much of it. So, of course, from the practice that I had, I didn't really have much going. So I'm like, well, I'm going to go catch those 2 on bed, at least kind of get the ball rolling early in the day, and then we'll go from there. Well, get in there, pluck those 2 right off the bat. Maybe in 5 minutes I catch both of them real quick. And I'm like, maybe I really need to start looking to see if there's more fish in here spawning. Water clarity wasn't great, so you couldn't just see them. They weren't jumping out, you know. So I started creeping along real quiet, utilizing my power poles, that new Garmin trolling motor, super, super quiet. So I'm easing through there, and then 20 feet later, boom, I see a bed. Power pole down on it, first flip in there, get a bite. It's almost a six-pounder. It's like a high five. I'm like, good Lord. Long story short, I catch two off that bed, a five and another one, almost six, and I catch seven other fish in there on bed after I kind of creeped along and really, really looked. Started noticing some light spots and things like that, start picking those fish off. So now I got a great start. You know, I got a phone call coming in. I got a great start. I got seven or eight fish in the boat for a good amount of weight. I'm off and I'm rolling. It dawned on me after I caught all those fish off bed that there might be fish moving into this area. So there's kind of like a little narrow channel or canal section to this backwater. And I kind of power pulled down at the mouth of it and just started fan casting down through that kind of canal area with a methylate floating worm. And man, it was just magic started happening. I would catch one. I'd weigh it. I mean, these are all fresh fish. These are no fish that I've caught already. They're just swimming in. But they're 4-pounder, 5-pounder, 3-pounder, 7-pounder. And I literally sat there and kept making a rotation around a small pocket and coming back to that canal and picking off a new one. I did that for 2.5 periods. So that's a total of like 5-plus hours, man, of doing this. And I'm racked up in the mid to high 70s at this point in weight. And it was just one of those crazy things that happened. And for whatever reason, the light bulb went off and I realized what was going down. And I knew not to leave. And I just knew to kind of let it rest and come back. Let it rest and come back. And every time I did, I'd catch another fish.
Did you see some fish that you were like, you know, I don't have time to mess with that? Even though it was a big fish. Like, we talked to Andy Montgomery this week, and he said 20 minutes was it. Is that how it worked out for you?
You know, given the format that we're dealing with, you cannot get too caught up in a fish. And I knew that. And I said that all week. And the bed fish that I did catch, 15, 20 minutes tops I'd spend on them. Thankfully, I didn't have to ever spend that much on any one fish. But, you know, that has to be the threshold, man, because a guy going down the bank throwing a spinner bait or a jerk bait or a crank bait, he's catching them.
Yeah.
And now you're finding yourself wasting time and you're falling behind. So I knew that, but it helped. It worked to my benefit for them all to be in such close proximity. So I didn't have to go too far to find another fish, you know, and I didn't have that issue. But I certainly understand where Andy's coming from on that. You can't waste too much time on a bass, regardless of how big they are.
Yeah. Almost 112 pounds. You won the qualifying round. What are your thoughts about having the day off?
Man, I like it, man. Of course, you know, I came from the FLW tour originally before I qualified for the elites, and then obviously now in the Bass Pro Tour. But, you know, we had that off day, man. If you practice three hard days, sun up to sundown, you had that day to kind of recuperate, get your stuff together, relax, get a bite to eat. You know, just all the things that you kind of miss out on during the actual tournament, you know, because you're just getting after it so hard. So having a day off in this case, well, it was really a day off because I spent one day practicing Athens.
Yeah.
So having one day off to kind of gather your thoughts, put together a game plan, rest, get your gear together, man, it's a big deal. I really like it personally.
All right, let's talk about Lake Athens. And you led for a good amount of time. And
it was coming together.
Yeah, I want to know, with one day, was that the first look that you had on that body of water? And if it was, how did you put together your game plan for that final day?
So I'd never been to Lake Athens before. I hadn't heard anything about it. I don't know anything about Lake Athens, first time. So I get over there. Of course, I'm leaning on knowledge that I just recently took from Lake Fork, right?
Yeah.
And hoping that I may could find something similar to apply over on Lake Athens. So we get there. We launch the boat. Right off the bat, the first thing I noticed, this lake's gin clear. I mean, like five and 6 foot visibility. You can see super good. So I start running into these creeks and these pockets, and I'm not even fishing. I'm just looking at this time. tow motor on high, and there are fish on bed all over the place. I mean, they're bedded up everywhere, and I'm like, this is good. So I'm like, how do I want to attack this? Because there's so many up that I know I kind of want to fish shallow, but how do I want to attack this? Kind of going back to what Andy said, I knew I didn't want to do a lot of straight up sight fishing, time consuming, not covering enough water. I didn't want to fall into that trap. So one of my most favorite ways to catch them during the spawn and pre-spawn when they're moving up, getting shallow, kind of looking around, is to cover a lot of water with a floating worm. And obviously I just got off a great bite on Lake Fork doing that. I immediately rigged one up with a screw lock, no hook, and I start running these shallow bays, fan casting it around up shallow, and I probably had 30 plus bites in a few hours. And I was just kind of blown away at how many fish were in this place and how many bites I was getting. I'm like, this is crazy. So I was really, really excited going into the championship round about what I had found. What hasn't been talked about, and a lot of people don't know this, except for the 10 guys that competed, that night we had a really bad storm come through. A lot of lightning and thunder. And all my shallow guys out there can definitely relate to this firsthand. Shallow bass of any kind do not like that. That really kind of throws them off of what they're doing. They'll pull off a little bit, and they'll get off into like that first little break a lot of times. And I think a portion of those bass did that. Not all of them, because obviously I caught quite a few up shallow, but I was getting a fraction of the bites that I was just getting a day prior or 2 days prior. It was kind of mind-blowing, to be honest. But I stuck with my guns, which may or may not have been a good thing, but I stuck with my guns, and we rode the wave with the floating worm, man.
What was the thoughts going through your brain when you were hearing the score tracker updates and Ott goes on this flurry and you were struggling a little bit? What were your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I seen Ott a lot earlier in that day, and he seemed to be dedicated to offshore. No surprise there. I just felt like the majority of the fish were on the bank and or coming to the bank personally. And if you look at the majority of the day and what he was doing in my mind and from what I saw, I'm like, they're just not biting out there that great. You know, I'm not setting it on fire up shallow either, but neither is anybody fishing off the bank from what I've seen. And I know Ott's offshore. So I'm like, that's not really happening. But with that being said, it doesn't take but for you to run up on one school, which is exactly what he did, and absolutely set the world on fire, which is exactly what he did. So when he started dinging it up, and I'm seeing 5-pounder, 4-pounder, 9-pounder, I immediately knew. I told my guy, I said, man, I rolled up on one of those schools. He found a group, and he is not holding back. And it hurt, to be honest, because you don't get in position like that to win often. It's very, very difficult to get in that position, let alone close the deal. And so to be leading with an hour left and looking very, you know, prosperous to win, to start hearing that, yeah, it hurt. It did, to be honest. But at the end of the day, you can't do anything but take your hat off to a guy that finds a school like that and figures it out and absolutely crushes it. And that's what drives the sport. That's what fans want to see. That's what's exciting. And I can't take nothing away from Ott for that.
All right, so basically you made no adjustment. You stuck with that worm.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what the score tracker was doing, you were sticking with it.
I was ride or die, man. I was ride or die. I had so many bites in practice doing that, I just could not put it down. I just felt like it was only a matter of time before I just rolled into the right pocket, and it would be a similar outcome to what Ott did, maybe not as fast, but I felt like I could roll in any pocket at any given time and catch 6, 7, 8, you know, 10 bass.
It's interesting. I don't know how many people picked up on this quote in some of the interviews that you did with Major League Fishing. But the one that I picked up on was you said you never can have enough.
Oh, yeah.
And that was so true with that flurry that Ott had, and man, it was so cool to watch. Nothing against what everybody else was doing, but it was really, really cool to watch.
It's a special deal, man. It's magical, you know, and it's what as fishermen we live for, and you fish your butt off in all those days of practice, the blood, sweat, and tears that goes into this is all for that one moment. When you find something like that, then it all unfolds. And it's, I mean, I sat back and had to go rewatch live myself. I mean, it's amazing. You know?
That's,
you know,
interesting.
It simply is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. And what was cool is he was catching the sand bass along with,
right,
man, how many 4 and 5 pounders and 3 pounders?
Right.
It was just nuts. Have you ever had a situation like that, Mark?
Yeah. Yeah. I found, even back home on the California Delta, a lot of times those big, big largemouth, they run with the stripers. You know, the stripers are ferocious, aggressive eaters.
Yeah.
Same with white bass. They kind of got the same mentality. They're just like the Chihuahua version. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They get after it when it comes to bait fishing. Those bass, oftentimes, a little bit lazier, a little bit slower. They kind of mix in with them and let them, kind of disorient the bait, and then they come in and pick things off kind of behind them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you'll find it. Well, a lot of those bigger, more aggressive game fish will intermix during like a feeding frenzy scenario.
So what are you going to do with your time off now? We've talked to a number of guys. Some are not fishing. Some are.
Right.
What are you going to do?
Man, I'm going to fall into the category of the guy that's still going to fish, man. I mean, I'm outdoorsman. This is what I love to do. You know, I feel like I'm not causing anyone any harm if I'm out on the lake by myself, man. You know, I think that's totally fine. That's just my personal opinion. I'm not saying go do that. But, man, I'm going to chase down these crappie. This is something that I don't get to do all the time because I'm generally on the road right now. But this is the time of year when they're biting really good. And I like chasing those bad boys just as much as bass.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that Matt couldn't be on the show because he is obsessed with crappie fishing right now. He calls it hunting. It's not even fishing to him. He calls it hunting. Is this your favorite time of the year to fish? Or if you had to break down the seasons, how would you rank the four seasons as far as your favorite time to go out and get on the water?
Man, you got to put spring at the top, man. Spring's going to definitely be number one. This is when you're going to see the biggest fish of the year. They're their biggest. They're their heaviest. They're their most aggressive, in my opinion, right now. And if you just scroll through social media, everybody's holding on a 5-pounder, it seems like.
Yeah.
And it's just a beautiful thing, man. I mean, this time of year, I absolutely love to get out there. My personal best come this time of year. I got several, 10-plus pounders during the spring. I'm not trying to brag or anything. I'm just saying this is when that happens. You don't see them any other time of year for the most part. So spring's number one for me. Fall is going to be a close second. I like the fall. Summer's probably at the bottom for me. And then I like wintertime fishing too, man. I love it.
Very nice. That falls right in line with what Matt and I talk about all the time. It's pretty much lined up exactly what we like to do. How would you rate your career right now, man? Are you happy with the way that everything has went? Is it really progressing? It's been well documented, even on this show, that we've had you on here before. But, dude, it seems like you've got everything dialed in right now.
Man, I'm happy as a lark, man. I mean, I am literally living the dream, in my opinion. This is something I've dreamed of ever since I was a kid. And, you just never know how you're going to make it out here. You know, it's like, I want to be a professional fisherman. You know, will I ever get the opportunity? Of course, going back to 2013 when I won the national championship, that was my foot in, my door in. And, man, we hadn't looked back, man. We kind of stepped through the door and have had some success. I still have a lot of things that I want to get underneath my cap, you know. But, man, I'm happy as I want to be, dude. I think the league's doing really well. We've made some very positive changes. I see things getting nothing but better from here, man, to be completely honest.
You like the 2-pound change?
100% do, man. I think perception is the biggest thing in our sport, man. And you can look at the list of the 80 guys that we're competing with, and there's no doubt there. You know what I mean? As far as skill set, accolades, just everything above, it's there. Time of year, fisheries, and what the guys are geared to target is going to then dictate everything else that falls behind. So if you put us on Smith Lake in May, post spawn, where they're the skinniest that they're going to be all year, and a guy can win the tournament on one pounders, that's what we're going to do.
How much, and this is kind of tied in a little bit though, but how much do you miss the Delta? And I'm going to tie that in to that question is, do you think eventually you guys are going to make a West Coast swing?
How much do I miss the Delta? First, yeah. Let me answer that question first. That's always every day, 100%, 110,000%. I get text messages every single day. I got two today of 7+ pounders. I mean, this is just like a regular thing at home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's springtime. So you go fishing, you catch 2, 3, sometimes 4 fish over 7 pounds. I mean, it's just what happens on the California Delta. An absolute special place. My favorite place to fish in the country. Absolutely miss that place on a day-to-day basis. As far as us making a Western swing, I know that has came up in some meetings and some discussions. I am very hopeful is the word I'm going to use. Hopeful that we will make a Western swing for several reasons. I feel like we have some of the best fisheries in the country, hands down. Secondly, there's an enormous fan base and an enormous amount of participants in this sport that we all love called bass fishing that live west of Texas. And I think these states, these fisheries, these counties, they need love. They need opportunity. And they need to be able to see us and touch us and interact with us and engage with us like we do in the South and in the Midwest and the North. I feel like, as a Western guy myself, man, we just don't have the same opportunities, man. And I think by us going west opens a lot of doors directly and indirectly for the Western angler.
All right, a couple more things, and then I'll let you go. One, I'm sure yep. there's going to be some people that want to know your worm setup that you were using yeah. at Lake Fork because, yeah. let's face it, a lot of people are throwing those this time of the year.
Yeah, oh, no doubt, no doubt. I've got quite a few questions on social media. Of course, I'll put it all out on my YouTube video as well if they want to check that out. But the setup, man, it's not very complex. I feel like technology has got better these days, and so we've kind of put a little more new generation twist on it. But this technique's been around for ages, as you know. I'm just throwing a 7-foot medium heavy action spinning rod. I got braided line to a fluorocarbon leader, 12-pound Seaguar Tattoo. I'm throwing a 4-aught offset worm hook made by owners called an all-purpose worm hook and just a methylate floating worm. And guys ask me, how do you fish that thing? And my easiest way to recommend it is you fish it like a jerkbait with a little bit longer pauses. But other than that, it's a very simplistic technique. It allows you to cover a lot of water shallow. And dude, it's an amazing way to catch spawners without looking at them.
You know, let me ask you this, and this is kind of a selfish question because I saw a guy do this many, many years ago. He would yeah. actually take the braid and he would use a swivel, and I don't remember what size the swivel was, and then tie fluorocarbon to the swivel and use yes. that rather than tying a knot to where yes. that worm would actually sink just a little bit more. Yep. Have you done that? Is that a good recommendation?
So originally that's how the technique was kind of brought to us, the old school way, which yeah. was a swivel.
Yeah.
Now, my opinion, like you stated, the swivel did two things. It got rid of the line twist for one, obviously, but then it also gave you a little bit of weight to keep that bait down. So my new age twist to that, I really like the braid to the fluorocarbon setup connected with an FG knot. The biggest reason I use a number 4 hook, which is a little bit big for this particular technique, it's a thicker gauge. It has more weight. It allows you to keep that bait down. So I've traded out the swivel for a thicker gauge hook, which gives me a little bit better casting distance, a little more weight, and also keeps that worm down a little bit. So that's my little new age twist that I've put on it personally.
All right. Very nice. Now, what is up with methylate? It's been this yeah. way for years. What is it, Mark?
You know, I have no clue really other than the fact that it's the brightest color man could put together, man. I mean, like, it glows harder than chartreuse, in my opinion.
It does.
And I think it just has what we know in the bass fishing world, or we reference, you hear a lot of the swim bait guys talk about, is drawing power. It pulls the curiosity of that bass so strong that they just can't handle it, and they absolutely have to eat it. And I mean, when they get it, so many times I got to get pliers, the long ones, the extended ones, and go way down in the gullet to get that thing back.
Wow.
Which looks nothing like anything they would ever feed on. It just triggers the reaction with the drawing power. They can't handle it. They got to get it, man. And there's a few other colors that work excellent too. The yellow, the old school guys call it school bus, you know?
Yeah.
The all white, the bubble gum, the chartreuse, those all do the same thing. I just got a personal preference with the methylate.
It's a big time color, man. It's been one of those colors that have lasted over time for years and years and years and years and years. Some of those old outdoor shows, you see these guys that come in from the flea markets and stuff like that. They'll have these old bags of soft plastic, and there's always methylate in there somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So,
been
around forever. All right, man. We're going to let you go. Go chase those crappie.
Yes, sir.
Hopefully, we'll be able to see you here in a few weeks at Grand Lake. Hopefully, things will get better.
Yeah, man.
Looking forward to that. What a great, great show that you guys put on at Lake Fork, though.
Awesome, man. I appreciate that, Mark. Thank you for the opportunity, man. And hopefully, we do see you guys up at Grand here soon.
All right. Have fun, man. Be safe. We'll talk to you soon.
Likewise. See you.
Let's face it. Fishing electronics are no longer an afterthought. They've become a necessity. And at the Bass Take, our experts match you with the right electronics, provide professional installation, and educate you to help maximize your catching results while providing support along the way. Because let's be honest, it's about catching, not just fishing. And when you're ready for better results, join the Bass Take team. Visit us today on Facebook or go to thebasstake.com.
Blue Water by TH Marine. Offering LED lighting solutions for your boat, trailer, truck, ATV, and so much more. Engineered and built to be rugged with waterproof and submersible options. Designed for easy installation, Blue Water is available in a variety of colors and styles. All backed by a limited lifetime warranty. Blue Water by TH Marine.
The name SPRO says it all. SPRO stands for Sports Professionals. When you look at the pro staff that SPRO has brought on board over the past 15 years, it's been pretty incredible. I mean, one got it just then. From the development of the Rock Crawler to the McStick, from the Fat Papa to the Little John series, when you tie a SPRO bait on, you know it's been designed by a professional to get the job done.
While I travel the country on the Bassmaster Elite Series, I simply can't let the weather be the reason I don't win $100,000. That's why I use AFCO clothing to keep me warm, dry, and protected from whatever Mother Nature wants to throw at me. My season depends on it. My career depends on it. AFCO. Any fish, any water.
All of us on the Pro Tournament Trail use Gamigatsu hooks.
Why?
Because they are absolutely the best.
It's not about how many bites you get.
It's how many you put in the boat.
Gamigatsu makes hooks for every fishing style.
We didn't come this far to lose fish.
Did you?
For more information, visit Gamigatsu.com.
The Big Bite Baits Kamikaze Swim On is a very unique bait, and it's got a full body but with ribs to give it a bigger profile but not more plastic. It's got a jointed tail that gives it a lot of action, as well as this up and down crawl type trail with holes and ribs in it, so it creates a bubble trail almost. This bait is supposed to be fished upside down or vertical like this on a great for a chatterbait. I prefer it on a swim jig as well. But you can also cut it down and put it on the back of a finesse jig. You know, flip it around for some spotted bass or flipping docks. Anytime you want a small, compact, you know, little trailer for it, this is great for it. So check out the full lineup of swim-ons at BigBiteBaits.com.